What's up, fans? Welcome to In the Bronx Podcast. My name is David Castillo, the founder of In the Bronx. In the Bronx is dedicated to showcase and shine light on the most underrated borough of New York City, as well as share stories of Bronx influencers and inspire future creators.
In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Edgar Santana, also known as the Bronx Car Guy. He is the founder of Cars in the Bronx, and you could find him on Instagram at eSantana. Edgar says he's always been a photographer, taking photos, documenting everyday life. He states, "The Bronx is constantly changing, so being able to preserve it through my photos is a beautiful thing." So without further ado, let's get into it. Edgar Santana, how's it going, bro? Thank you so much for being on here. I'm excited to get this recording started.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Looking forward to this. Looking forward to talking to Bronx.
Yeah, man. For sure, right? You're doing some really incredible things right now in the Bronx. Can you just introduce yourself and tell people where you're from?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Edgar Santana. I'm a Bronx native, born and raised. I was born in the Covent Garden section of the Bronx. Currently, I live in Woodlawn Heights. Some people may know me as E Santana on Instagram or Cars of the Bronx. I've had both feeds for quite some time, and I'm known as the Bronx Car Guy. Everybody knows me as the Vintage Car Guy. So, that's who I am, and I love talking Bronx. And I'm all for it today. Let's talk Bronx.
For real, man. Bronx definitely. The community is supportive for ambition. And the history of the Bronx is what makes us, we're dope, man. We're absolutely part of the mainland.
Listen, when you're one of a kind, you're automatically cooler.
Yes.
That's what I tell people, you're automatically
facts.
Cooler. The Bronx is extremely unique. The Bronx is full of hidden treasures that unfortunately a lot of people don't know about. Like I said, you travel anywhere in the world and you say you're from the Bronx and people look at you different. They're like, wow, yep. Okay. Okay,
not only because of the stigma, not only because of the stigma, people are scared of us, but we created so many, the birth of hip hop and architecture, I'm saying?
Yes. The Bronx is more than just the Yankees. The Bronx is more than just the Bronx Zoo. We have City Island, we have the real Arthur Avenue, we have, the Botanical Garden, we have Grand Concourse, which is the biggest, Art Deco architecture. I'm not sure in the world, but it maybe in the United States. I'm not sure. I have to double check on that one. But,
Bronx, we might as well consider it, bro.
Hey, listen, yes,
this is our hometown. We're the greatest.
Let's consider it then. But, a lot of people don't understand and realize that the Bronx is extremely diverse as well,
Yes.
I'm very, very proud to be where I'm from. And I try to rep that by, showing and showcasing my images to the world. Want people that not only live in the borough to see what their borough looks like, but also people from around the world to see what our beautiful borough looks like as well.
Beautifully said, dude. So I want to know, why was photography your outlet of choice?
I've always been a creative. I've always loved documenting different parts of my life, whether they were good or bad. When I was younger, I always carried around, a disposable camera, just taking pictures of friends, family, just stupidity, I was documenting life. And, I've always loved, just carrying, something with me to capture that. And, once camera phones came out, my first camera phone was a flip phone. I had a camera in my pocket. I didn't need to carry a little camera with me all the time.
Yeah.
But I just always loved documenting life, whether it was good or bad. But, looking back now at my older pictures, I could always see exactly, if I was happy at that time of my life, if I was sad at that time of my life, different styles, things like that. I've just always been into it. And as time progressed, I just got more into it because I was inspired by so many of my peers. So I just continued it, and it's given me some very, very cool opportunities, and that's why I continue to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Photography definitely opens up many doors in your life, man. It's so, there's so many opportunities and the community behind it is very supportive.
Yeah, extremely. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, the Bronx, you know, photograph community is big, but it's not that big.
Yeah, it's not. Like,
it's seven degrees of separation. Everybody knows each other by some way, somehow. You know, and it's a beautiful thing because, you know, again, everybody is connected in some way, somehow. Everybody supports each other, and everybody is, you know, everybody just wants everybody to succeed. And that's, yeah, again, sure, a beautiful thing. And that's why I'm like really proud to be part of this Bronx, you know, our creative community, because we all look out for each other.
Yep. And we're basically the upfront line of who's doing it first. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone comes here and tours like Manhattan or Brooklyn,
the
outer towns. You know what I'm saying? So we're creating this wave right now that people are definitely going to notice our work because we stood true to ourselves and our city.
Very true. Very true. Perfectly said. They said, you know, I've actually had a lot of people reach out to me, you know, from different states and from different countries that actually tell me that they want to visit the Bronx because of my images. And, you know, that's an incredible feeling to have somebody ask me that. And it's happened at least 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
You know, they literally tell me, like, I love your photos. I would love to visit the Bronx one day. Or, you know what, I'm actually booking my flight, you know, to the Bronx. I actually had somebody about a year ago tell me that. But, you know, again, it's just, you know, the Bronx is a beautiful place. It does not get the respect that you know, we definitely deserve. But, you know, it's fine. You know, as long as the people that live here respect it and understand the culture and the history behind it, that's fine with me too.
That was my goal starting in the Bronx, and it was to, you know, shine light on what is known to be the most underrated borough of New York City.
Extremely.
So, extremely, are you a full-time creative? Yeah.
No, I'm not a full-time creative. I do work in social services. I've been in working for an agency that provides services for children with special needs. What I do is I'm the recruiter, so I hire therapists. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, my job was affected, so I was out of work for 7 months. But I was able to find a new job in the same, you know, field, and I'm working in that, you know, in the same industry again. So just probably a little over a month, I've been back to work. I look at it as kind of a blessing. Thank you. I look at it as kind of a blessing in disguise, because at the time of my layoff, my wife was 6 months pregnant, even though it was devastating at the time. We really didn't know what was going on, but I was able to be home and support her throughout the pregnancy. And in June, I was able to be here, you know, for my son being born. So it was a blessing in disguise, you know, losing my job because I was able to be home and really help out. But, you know, creatively, it also inspired me to shoot some more, you know, shoot around the house, you know, shoot her pregnant. Once the baby was born, shoot our son. So, you know, even though I'm not in the fields, you know, like in the streets every day shooting, I am still trying to be creative at home and, you know, create those memories. So when he's older, he gets to see what he looked like and how cool his parents were.
And the universe always puts you in a position where you need to be and you never question it.
Absolutely true.
You know, I never fear losing a job because that only means a different door is going to open up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm saying, like, just growing up in New York and in the Bronx in itself, you know, you got to learn to have patience. Yeah. And only if you, it depends on, you know, your mindset as well. If you know something better is going to come, then that energy will manifest. And, you know, those who get it the worst will make it at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. I completely 100% agree with that. Yeah.
So tell me about Cars of the Bronx. Why did you start them?
Well, I've always been into cars since I was a kid. I've always loved cars. I have Matchbox cars, remote control cars, always loved cars. Once I started getting into photography, I just got inspired because, you know, I felt like it was a match made in heaven, photography and a vintage car. You know, to me, cars are extremely simple to shoot. Very simple. Yeah. You know, you just have to walk around a car. You see angles, what angles look best versus angles that don't look good on the car. But I always tend to set a mood as well. I look for shadows. I look for background. I try to, when I take photos of a vintage car, to angle it in a certain way so you don't see modern cars in the picture. So it looks like an actual vintage photo. Yeah. But, you know, I just love the aesthetic of the way a car looks, especially on film, that I've been shooting film for the past 2 years now. The way it looks on film, it's just a beautiful thing. You know, it is nothing better than seeing, like, let's say, you know, a 70s muscle car parked on a corner in a Bronx, you know, shot on film. And it looks like it's actually from that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've just been very lucky. I've had the eye for it. Like, I could walk down a block and I could just pinpoint when a car is shaped differently. And, you know, to date, I've probably captured maybe 600-700 cars easily. Nice. And, you know, it's given me some very cool opportunities as well. You know, I've sold a bunch of my photos.
That's beautiful, dude.
Yeah, I've sold a bunch of my photos. One of my car photos was on a billboard last year for an ad for AT&T. I was part of a campaign called It's a 718 Thing.
And I heard about that.
Yeah, three of my photos were featured on billboards throughout the city, and one of them was a car. So, you know, it's given me some very cool opportunities. And of course, it's nothing better than seeing your photo on a billboard throughout the city. Yeah. But I just love vintage cars. And, you know, me mastered, you know, taking a picture of a car, because, again, I make a car, you know, just look good.
Yeah, you definitely do, man.
it could be a jalopy, you know, something falling apart. And, you know, those are actually my favorite cars to shoot, by the way. I feel that those cars have more personality than a car that is pristine. You know, a car that is just, you know, garage kept year round. You know, those are beautiful, don't get me wrong. But I love the cars that show age, that are weathered, that have rust. I love that, you know, because you think about what that car looked like 20, 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. And those are my favorite cars to shoot.
Nice. It's all about the nostalgic sensation.
Very true.
From seeing those cars and your style. Very true. Definitely. When I look at your photos, I feel a sense of nostalgic, and it takes me back to like 94 and 95, chilling in my father's town car. Nice. You know? Yeah.
Well,
so.
I posted a town car not too long ago. I think it was maybe about 2 weeks ago. That boxy town car, like, that was this very popular cab of the 90s. There was one in Westchester Square. I saw it coming out of a car wash, and it was like a kind of like a rust color. It was in great condition, and I just happened to be walking by. Luckily, I have my camera on me, my 35mm point and shoot, and I got two really cool pictures of it. But that's a great car. I love Lincolns because they're very classy, and they age very well.
Very true. It's a funny thing. What I love about the Lincoln cars is the way the doors close and open. The sound, it has like that metal, like, clunkiness to
like
it.
A like huge clunk.
Yeah, like it sounds so dope, man. Like,
yeah, like the door weighs about 100 pounds.
Yeah. So that's what I love about it. I was even tempted to get me a Lincoln town car this year.
Nice. And then people are flagging you down thinking you're a cab.
Yeah, they're going to think I'm a cab. People are going to jump in.
Nah, they're very nice. But let me tell you, those old Lincolns, they're like tanks, man. If that hits a newer car.
Oh, nah, that new car is done.
That new car is absolutely done. It is done.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and I've also seen it. So those cars are literally like tanks. But yeah, Lincoln, you know, town car, that's actually, I mean, that's a classic car. There's a few. If you look on my feed, you'll see a few of them.
Yeah. Growing up in the Bronx, that's all I saw, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know too much about cars. I mean, I obviously know brands. I know what cars are when I see the person. Right. But, you know. That definitely stuck with me, with my life. That's because I rode in it. You know what I'm saying? The leather seats.
But let me tell you, they're also really comfortable. They're really comfortable.
Yeah, I was just about to get into that. Yeah, the seats.
I mean,
like,
you know, they're like very plush. And, you know, that's why they were so popular used for taxis, because they were so big inside. They were comfortable, but they were also just like tanks. So, like, you know, again, being an everyday car, if they got hit, it wasn't a big deal. They just kept going. You know, not like now these little sardine cans, they get hit. That's it. It's out of service for them.
Yeah. It's like the production, the investments for production got cheap.
Yeah. And well, I mean, those cars were also like made in, you know, the USA. So they were like steel. And that's why you said the doors were very heavy. You know, like the newer cars, they're fiberglass, like literally fiberglass. So like you literally tap it and it's crushed. So, you know, that's another thing. They just don't make them like they used to. And that's like when you see a vintage car, like you could just look at it and be like, wow, like this is art. You know, this is art. This is something that they definitely do not make like they do now. So that's why anytime I see one, they literally stick out to me. And that's why I feel like they're so photogenic.
That's nice, man. Is there a certain port? Is there a certain location in the Bronx that you like to go to?
Yeah. There actually are. They're mostly these vintage cars are mostly in residential areas, like Riverdale, Soundview, Wakefield. You know, Morris Park, Throgs Neck. They're usually in residential areas, and the reason why is because when there's no alternate side. So a lot of these, it's true though, a lot of these cars, unfortunately, are not used daily. So sometimes they'll sit there for weeks. Yeah. And if it's an alternate side area, that car needs to be moved back and forth. And, you know, that's why you usually see them in these residential areas, because somebody just parks it in front of their house and they could leave it there for months without even, you know, moving it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're scattered all over, but they're usually in residential areas. In Riverdale, matter of fact, there's a gentleman that lives along the Henry Hudson. I think it's like 252nd and like Henry Hudson. And he actually owns a film company that rents out vintage cars to movies. So along Henry Hudson, you'll see about maybe anywhere from 10, like 8 to 10 cars every day. And one of his most famous cars is a checkered cab that is always parked along Henry Hudson Parkway. And, you know, again, that they're just beautiful to see, especially a checkered cab. You don't see that every day. But they're definitely scattered. And, you know, it just got to the point that I've captured so many of them that I've, you know, walked by neighborhoods and I've find them in driveways and people's backyards. I mean, I don't trespass. Don't get me wrong, but I'll try and get it from the street, you know, take a photo from the street. But, you know, again, it's just I really have mastered the way of finding them. And, you know, I get a lot of people like, you know, asking me like, yo, how do you find all these cars? Like, it's hard to answer that because I just do.
It's like once you get into it, too, that it's like your eye starts opening up for you start looking for and then they just start popping up like nothing.
That's exactly it. Like, once you start looking for them, they actually, you know, seem to pop up more. Yeah. And, you know, I'll be driving somewhere, for example, and I'll be with my wife in the car. I'll see one. I'll literally pull over and take a picture of it. That's awesome, you know, I try, you know, it's just become a hobby of mine. And, you know, again, I try to catch, you know, as many as I can. And, you know, there's people like, you know, followers of mine on the Cars feed that are actually owners of cars. So they'll hit me up and be like, yo, I just cleaned the car today. Come by. This one owner that has he lives right off of Westchester Square. He has about 6 vintage cars in his driveway. Young dude. He works on them with his dad, and they're both welders. So they have project cars. So these cars are classic cars, but they're not drivable. They're like all like rusted, no engines, things like that. But again, I love capturing that because it gives so much personality to the car, and they're really beautiful cars. And I've posted a few. I'm sure, you know, whoever's listening to this, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure, man. You're definitely passionate about your niche, and it's beautiful, man. You capture it so well. It's you know, you're a professional, dude.
Thank
Now, I'm curious. Are you self-taught? Like, how did you learn?
Yeah, definitely self-taught. You know, again, it's just just self-taught, man. I'm just, you know, I got inspired by, you know, seeing other photographs of cars, and, you know, I was like, you know what, that I could try that. You know, I just definitely self-taught, you know, with the, you know, most of my photos prior to 2 years ago were solely on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Everything was on my phone. I don't like to carry around a big clunky camera. So everything was literally on my phone. Up until about 2 years ago, I was inspired by a lot of, you know, Bronx, fellow Bronx artists. And I decided to dabble in film. And I haven't touched a digital camera since. I feel that film is a beautiful thing. You know, it, you create something with it. It's such a challenge. You do not know what you have until you actually develop it. You know, I don't go crazy with cameras either. I have little, you know, I have 2, 4, 6 I'm counting them. I have them in my room right here. So I'm trying 2, 4, 6 I have 5, 6 point and shoot little cheap cameras. And, you know, they just, they're just give it a different look. And, you know, again, it's just such a challenge because, again, you could shoot a whole roll and, you know, it could be a dud, or you could shoot an entire roll and it could be all beautiful.
So, there's like a certain excitement to it.
Exactly. And it really is an excitement because once I have a role that I finish, like I want to develop it as soon as possible because I want to see what I captured. You know, I want to see what I created. But yeah, definitely self-taught. And, you know, I don't even see myself and consider myself a photographer. I just consider myself a hobbyist. You know, I just feel like I'm a hobbyist that enjoys the hobby, that enjoys the art. But, you know, I've just gotten recognition for it and I'm absolutely humbled by it. You know, I've been published in books. I had my photos, exhibited at the, you know, Bronx River Arts Center 2 years ago. Again, I mentioned the billboards. You know, I've been, you know, exhibited many times. I've been, you know, I've sold photos. It keeps pushing me. It keeps pushing me. My goal is to eventually have my own book. That's what I really want. You know, I would want eventually 2 books, one solely for cars and one solely for street. And that's just my goal. You know, eventually that's really what I want to set, you know, set that goal. And I've had people approach me like, you know, I can help you. I could do this. But, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, too. You know, it's not like I could sit down and do it tomorrow. You know, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I also want to make sure that I do it right. You know, I don't want to put out something that looks trash as well, you know?
Nice, man. Yeah, definitely. Congratulations on all those features. That's badass.
Thank you. Yeah.
I definitely picture you having like a book or even like a website. You know what I'm saying? Like, speaking that into existence right now, you'll definitely get that, dude. Like, you're doing some incredible work and it deserves to be brought out into the light. And that's why, like, I'm really humble right now to speak to you. Like, this is like dope.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, it's crazy because there's so many people that, you know, that I look up to, like, for example, like, you know, Joe Conzo, which is, you know, a legendary photographer from the Bronx. Another one being Jamel Shabazz, a legendary photographer in the hip hop community, you know, from the 70s and 80s. And these photographers have actually mentioned to me that they're fans of mine. And, you know, Joe Conzo, I ran into him not too long ago. And I remember him mentioning when the billboards came out, he mentioned, he was like, I've been shooting for 40 years and I've never had a billboard. You know, I remember him telling me that. And that was like an incredible feeling to, you know, to hear that. And Jamel Shabazz as well. Like, you know, I've met him many a times. And he is such a cool, down-to-earth guy. And he's always telling me, oh, I love your photos, your car photos. You know, everybody knows me from the cars. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's so humbling to have people that, you know, actually recognize my work. And that I feel like I am definitely nowhere near on their level. But the fact that they recognize my work is extremely humbling. And that's what continues to push me. And that's why I try and be as consistent as possible and post as much as possible, you know, anywhere from, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a week. Because I want the audience to you know, to feel my images. Once I get an image, I want to put it out there. It doesn't make sense for me to have an image that's you know, a beautiful image of a beautiful car or a street scene and me hold it for like months. What's the point? I want to share it. And that's such a beautiful thing of how Instagram, you know, once it came out, I had a platform to actually share my images. And that's why, you know, again, it's taken me, you know, it's given me some very, very cool opportunities.
Oh, yeah. I say that, too, often more than enough, that we live in the most opportunistic time in the century. Like, you know, the power of social media and networking is literally within our hands. Like, all opportunities we can create ourselves.
Very true. Very, very true. You know, I mean, you know, social media in the beginning, you know, when I had created my first Instagram account back in 2011, you know, I was just posting stupidity, you know, like what I had for lunch, you know, an empty beer bottle, you know.
I know what you mean.
That's, you know, the early days of Instagram, it was like that. So once I started, you know, feeling creative, I started posting, you know, like some of the stuff that I post now. And that's when I started getting recognized. And, you know, I remember my first big feature was NBC News had posted one of my photos. It was like a mural, like right off of Westchester Square. And, you know, it was like an incredible feeling to actually have one of my photos reposted from a major news organization, you know. Yep. And, you know, again, that really pushed me to like really start taking it serious. So, you know, the pictures of lunch and the pictures of the bottle of beer that I just drank, that stopped. I wasn't posting that anymore. I started taking a little more serious. And that's why I just, you know, started going down the, you know, the route where I am now, which is posting, you know, everyday life.
Yeah. That's you focusing on your niche. You found what you like as a photographer.
Yes.
And that's key to having a successful Instagram page or business.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, another key is to be also original and creative. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's really the best advice I could give to anybody coming up. And you know, I mentioned this recently to somebody. You know, a lot of people, especially younger people that are getting into photography, they tend to follow trends. They tend to follow what's cool out there now. And, you know, they shouldn't follow trends. They should follow what they feel it looks good to them. You know, if this looks good to you, then post it. You know, just be as creative and original as possible. Do not follow trends. Don't be a follower.
For real.
Also with equipment, you know, a lot of people always ask me like, oh, what kind of equipment you use? Listen, like I mentioned, I use, you know, either my phone or cheap point and shoot cameras. Like my most expensive point and shoot camera is $100 Leica, you know, 35mm camera. You know, you do not need a $2,000 camera to shoot daily. You know, it's about your eye, you know, it's about your eye and how you see things and how you, you know, just, it's about your eye. You do not need, you know, $10,000 cameras to make something look good.
Not at all, man.
Yeah.
Unless you could afford it, then hey, do what
unless
you gotta
you
do.
Listen,
but it's not necessary at all, man. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely agree, but I watch all these videos all the time on YouTube of like these, you know, known photographers that go thrifting and they find like $5 cameras and stuff, and you know, they show with like what they shoot with it, and you gotta see these pictures. I mean, they're like incredible. So again, it's not about what the equipment you have is. I mean, hey, and if you can afford it, all you know, go for it. But you know, it's just about the eye and how you frame things and composition, right? All that stuff. And that's what makes you a successful, original, creative artist.
That's facts, bro. Well said, man. What's one advice you can give an upcoming creator from the Bronx? So we're good on that.
Yeah. Well definitely done, man. Again, creative and original. Be as creative and original as possible. I can't stress that. And, you know, there's a lot of young, you know, people that I know out there that are getting into photography. And, you know, because, again, Instagram has created this, you know, platform that everybody's a photographer, you know, but, you know, you have to be creative and original to stand out. If you're not original and creative, you're not going to stand out. You're going to be like everybody else. So, you know, that's really the best advice I could give. But, you know, just do what feels right for you and, you know, find inspiration. Just find inspiration and trust me, it will lead you places.
Nice, man. So I'm aware of your feature on Only New York as well, man. How did that come about?
Yeah. Thank you. So about a month ago, one of their reps had reached out to me. They said they were huge fans of the Cars feed. They asked if I would be interested in being featured on their newsstand, which is on their website, kind of like a blog. So I was absolutely interested. So they got back to me and they sent me 60 of my photos that they wanted the high res versions. Wow. And they were like, we love this. This is perfect for the brand. We love this. Like, it was just like all these great car photos that I loved and I'm glad that they chose them. You know, they curated it and, you know, they sent me, you know, the photos they wanted to feature. I sent them all the high-res photos. It was a little Q&A that went along with it. And it went live this weekend. I think it was on Saturday or Sunday it went live. And, you know, again, it was such a very cool opportunity because I'm a fan of the brand, but also it gets, you know, the Cars feed, you know, introduced to a different audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people were, you know, reaching out to me and, you know, like congratulating me. And, you know, I got like no joke, at least like 150 followers just this past weekend. Nice, you know, the Cars feed is very, very popular, very popular.
Yeah.
You know, I have a few people. Yeah, I have a few people like Funk Flex follows the feed. He's a big car guy.
Nice.
He has a garage in the Bronx, matter of fact, with a bunch of classic cars. I've been trying to get in contact with him to capture him do like a portrait with him and his cars. It's just difficult. But he follows the feed. There's a few other people that follow the feed as well that are very well known. But yeah, it was a very cool opportunity, and you know, I'm glad that I was able to do it.
Nice, man. Congratulations, dude. That's once again badass, man. I'm actually checking out the blog right now, and like my favorite photo is the one with the American flag.
Yeah, that was in Ferry Point Park. Every year, there's actually a car club called the there's actually a cruise called the Throg's Neck Car Cruise. It's like a bunch of, you know, old OGs from, you know, from the Bronx that have nice cars, and they meet up in Ferry Point Park, and you know, they just meet up and they just hang out, talk. So that car, that's actually a Chevy Impala, and it had an incredible paint job. The paint job was actually the American flag, which is crazy. And there's another photo that I posted, I think it was like on 4th of July, of another angle of that same car, and the American flag was in the back. So it was a very cool pick, but that car was like incredible. But that's obviously not the car that you see every day. Like you're not gonna go to, you know, do a Walgreens run driving that car. You know, that's not a car that you use on special occasions. And you know, again, it's a beautiful car, but you know,
show car,
it's definitely a show car, and definitely not an everyday car. I prefer to shoot the everyday cars, but that car was definitely one of the very cool ones that I've shot.
Nice, man. I got a question. I'm curious. Do you have a specific time of day you like to go out and photograph?
The morning. Yes. I love the morning because, well, two reasons. The lighting is always good, and you always get some very cool shadows. And second, there's not a lot of people around. So, you know, if I'm walking by and I see a vintage car, I'll be able to take my 3, 4, 5, 6 shots, and I'm just continuing to move. If it's during the day or evening, there's a lot of people out, you get people questioning why I'm taking a picture of the car. I've had actually a few times, when I used to live in Pelham Bay, there was a classic car on my block, and I was taking a picture of the car during the day, and the guy came out, the owner, and he was not happy. Until I showed him the feed, and then he turned into like a little boy. He was like, "Oh my god, I love this this feed! Oh my god, look! Oh my god, that's my friend's car, and I used to own car." And you know, it was funny, but I just prefer the morning. Yeah, it was a cool story because the dude he was not happy. He was really, it looked like he was gonna break my camera. Matter of fact, but he turned out to
be careful
really
in the Bronx,
cool
man.
I know, but he turned out to be a really nice guy, and he was like, take as many pictures as you want. Once he saw that, you know, obviously I wasn't, you know, scoping out the whip to try and steal it later on in the night.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. He probably thought you were gonna jack his joint.
that's why he came out like that. But I just prefer morning. I've gotten some very cool shots in the mornings because of shadows, the way the sun is hitting. I just really look for mood. I always look for mood. Like if it's a you know, overcast day, I mean, you know, you're a photographer, you know, lighting is everything. And if it's too bright, it's just too much. If it's like too dark, you can't see much. It just really depends on the light and the time of day. I just prefer mornings because I just love the way the light looks in the morning.
Nice, man. You definitely got the photographer's eye down packed, man.
Thank you.
Those are the only times I like shooting too. It's, you know, golden hour, man. Yeah. It's in the morning. And then, like, as soon as afternoon comes, I pack up my bags and I'm good because the light is way too hard.
Yeah.
And then come back out at night, you know, for that sunset.
Yeah.
And that's the way of the life, man.
Yeah. That's actually one thing that I want to get into is, like, shooting more in the evening into night. Okay. But it's just I've never really got around to doing it. So that's why I just prefer mornings. But eventually I would like to shoot, you know, at darker light. But I've had people, you know, from that have moved out from the Bronx, and they follow the feed, and they're like, "Oh my God, I used to live in that building. Thank you for showing this."
Yes, you know, I get the same messages, man.
There you go. You see,
and that's representing the city. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
dude, I get it all the time. You see, you get it as well. I get it as well. You know, the people like, "I used to live in that building. Thank you." Or, "Oh my God, you know, my dad had the same car growing up. You know, like, we used to go to City Island at the end. Oh, this brings back so many memories. Thank you for posting." Like, I get that a lot. And that inspires me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That inspires me.
I got chills in my arms hearing that, man, because I feel the same way.
You see? So then, you know, you've experienced it. So you know how I feel. And, you know, it's such an inspiration.
Yeah, it's like it makes my heart feel warm that it confirms the fact that I started this. It has a point to it, and it's great.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly why I continue to solely focus on the Bronx. Now, there's all the Bronx feeds out there, but, you know, I really just focus on the Bronx. That's it. You know, I give a lot of respect to other feeds and stuff. And trust me, I do not hate on anybody. I love everybody, and I want everybody to succeed. But I just really focus on the Bronx because, like, how many times could you see yellow cabs in the city? How many times could you see the Empire State Building? How many times can you see, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge? Yeah, they're beautiful. They're very photogenic. But I like to, you know, again, it goes back to being original, creative, just showing a regular, you know, a street scene of a corner that may have a guy, like I posted this not too long ago. It was an older gentleman just sitting in front of a closed bodega in Hunts Point. And the guy was just sitting there on a chair. And, you know, somebody might just think, all right, it's a guy sitting there and walk right by. But I saw beauty in that. And I stopped. Yeah. I took his picture. And it's actually one of my favorite photographs. And, you know, it was shot on film and it's black and white. And the dude is just chilling there in front of a bodega. And the store is closed. The gates are down. And he's just chilling there. You know, and that's everyday life. That's something that you see every single day. So that's why I just continue to focus solely on the Bronx, because, again, I get those messages just like you. And, you know, I want to continue to get those messages. You know, please, oh, my God, you know, I used to live in that building. I do this, blah, blah, blah. I want to continue to receive those messages. And that's why I just continue to do what I do.
And that's because there's not too many of us doing it, man.
Exactly.
Like I said in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do have a NYC page dedicated to, like, outer parts of New York.
Okay.
I did that for many years, and I've never received a message like that until I started my Bronx page.
You see, there you go.
And I feel like it's because everyone that it's so saturated with everyone photographing downtown. It's like, okay,
there's
a story, but it's like the connection's not there. I guess because I'm not from there. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the Bronx, and man, it feels great.
it does. And, you know, like I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with shooting in the city. The city's obviously extremely photogenic and, you know, beautiful as well, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's a different message.
It's a different message. Exactly. It's a different message. And you just see it every day, every single day. Like, you know, like today, I think I posted, what did I post today? I don't even remember what I posted today. But, you know, I try and post, you know, scenes that you may not see every day, you know, like you may look at that, like, pharmacy and be like, that's not really photogenic, but oh, he just posted that, you know, it does look photogenic. You know what I mean? It's just like certain, you know, storefronts, they look beautiful. They have the older look, you know, and that's what I love. And that's what I like look for, you know, bodegas that have that older look, you know, and again, all that kind of goes back into, you know, the gentrifying of the borough and how gentrification has become a huge issue. You know, a lot of these businesses will not look the same tomorrow. So why I'm really trying to document what the Bronx looks like today, because tomorrow may not look like that.
We're all historians. And,
I had a conversation.
A unique time right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is. You know, I had a conversation with, you know, a friend of mine on Sunday, and I told him that. And I said, you know, looking back on my feed, I was looking at, you know, murals and buildings. And none of them exist anymore, you know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite photos was on West Farms. There was this huge mural of, like, a boy blowing a bubble under the L. Like, it was, like, on Tremont and, like, West Farms. And the building, it doesn't even exist anymore. It's, like, this high-rise now. you know? Yeah. And, you know, there's so many of these buildings and businesses and cars and street corners that just do not exist anymore. So it's important for people that love our borough to document it, because again, it may look very different tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. So it's important.
There's so much construction right now.
It's important for us to document it. If we love our borough that much, it's very important to continue to document it, because you know, it's not going to look like that. So
yeah, for real, man. I remember riding the one bus coming down the concourse, heading towards Fordham. From Woodlawn to Fordham, and I remember seeing like houses on the concourse that are not there now that are, are new residential buildings.
I try to remember
like what was there before, and like it hits me like, holy shit, like this was different back then.
No, I know, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of neighborhoods are like that. You know, they just have a different look to it, or, you know, again, gentrifying, you know, these neighborhoods and, you know, renaming them, like a few years ago that they were trying to rename, you know, Mott Haven to the Piano District and all you know, it's you can't change history and you have to preserve it. So that's why it's important for us as photographers to preserve that, because again, and I can't stress it, it may not be here tomorrow, but it's a beautiful thing to preserve it on an image, you know? And, you know, again, that's why I really strive to be as, you know, consistent as possible. And I literally do shoot every day. You know, I may not shoot, you know, a whole roll every day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I'm somewhere and I see, you know, a scene or something, color, light, even if I just have my phone on me, I'll just try and capture it. Because, again, that's just, you know, that's just the way I'm programmed. You know, I have to, you know, try and capture moments daily.
That's awesome, man. I'm so excited that you said that, man. Preserving the Bronx, bro. That hit me so hard. I just wrote it down right now. Like, yo, that's going to be the quote when I release this, man.
Dope. Now you're
inspired
to go out and shoot right now, right?
Yo, I am, man. I definitely am. And I'm definitely going to be one of those spotters for you now. Like, yo, check out this car. Come quick.
Please do. You know, trust me, there's probably a chance that I've already shot it. But
I wouldn't doubt it.
It's so funny, so because cool. You know, this guy that I know, he hits me up all the time. He's like, yo, there's this car on, you know, 233rd in Baychester. I'm like, oh, I got that already. Then he's like, oh, there's this car on 149th and, you know, and Melrose is parked right there. Oh, I got that already. Like, you know, I'll send him the post of when I sent, you know, when I posted it. And, you know, it's just, I've gotten so lucky throughout the years, man, just finding these cars and, you know, like, again, just the cool opportunities. And for a lot of the owners, when I meet the owners, like, they're just so, you know, they want to talk about their car. You know, they want to talk about, they know they have a beautiful car. They want to talk about it. You know, I have in the past tried getting a portrait with the owner and their car. Uh-huh. But it sometimes it's not easy because some of them just don't want to be photographed. And, you know, it's tough. But that's another one of my goals, is to kind of try and get the owners with their car, because I think that would be a very cool series as well.
Yeah, for sure. Then you're gonna have to like start working with like their schedule and stuff like that.
Yes, and that's why it's hard, right? That's why it's hard with me with a 5-month-old baby. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So, man, this was killer, dude. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Same here.
So what's next for you, man? What can your audience expect?
Oh, man. You know, just the same thing, man. Just the same thing. You know, I'm going to just be putting out, you know, the same content, you know, beautiful cars, you know, just everyday Bronx life, you know. You know, but my goal, as I mentioned before, is to eventually book, you know. So I'm hoping, you know, sometime in, you know, 2021 to eventually have, you know, an opportunity out there to actually put out my book. And, you know, that's something that is really, like, I really want to do that. Like, I want to have a book that I'm selling, like, you know, not out of the trunk of my car. I'm talking about, like, you know, I want to sell a book, like, in a bookstore. Like, people actually go, published. Yo, you got that new Cars of the Bronx book? Oh, you know, I want that. So, you know, that's definitely a goal of mine. But, you know, professionally, you know, I just want to continue to, you know, just put out content, man. I just want to put out content. I want people to enjoy my photos. I want people to, you know, I want to continue to get those messages, you know, like as you get like, oh, I love this, you know, my parents used to live there or whatever. I just want to make people happy when they see a photo of mine. You know, I don't want somebody to see my photo and just scroll right through it. I want them to look at it. I want them to see what I saw when I took that photo, and the reasoning why I posted it as well. There's reasoning to this. I have tons of photos in my archives, but the ones that I put out specifically because there's something about that photo that I want to share. And you know, again, I just want people to be inspired. I want people to be creative and original when they're posting their own content as well.
Nice, man. Incredible, dude.
Well, thank you.
Edgar, thank you so much, man. It's been a blast talking to you, dude.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. And let me tell you, I appreciate you offering me to come on because this was fun. I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. You deserve it, dude. Your work is like really inspiring. It inspired me, and I hope you keep it up, dude. And for your book, man, just write it down and manifest that energy, and it's going to come about. I'll definitely cop that book once it comes out.
You better.
All right, dude. Have a good night, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this episode, please show support and subscribe to our podcast in order to stay tuned for future episodes. I'd love to hear back from you, so follow us on Instagram at In The Bronx. I hope you found inspiration in the content provided and stories shared on this platform. Peace.